الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعاشروهن بالمعروف صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, it is part of our daily habit when the menfolk we come into the masjid, the very first thing that most of us do, we look onto the side where there's a notice board and we see is there any nikah notice or a janaza notice. Somebody is born sometimes, somebody is getting married, somebody is passing away. In fact, today there will be a janaza later on today. One of our brothers has passed away. May Allah make his maghfirat. And also we will witness the nikah. May Allah give barakah in this nikah. This is this life in this dunya. Person is born, grows, gets married, mort, and then we leave this world. Since there is a nikah, a few advices regarding nikah, especially to the bridegroom, and also for all of us, to refreshen ourselves. We have witnessed so many nikahs in our life. Yet we find that this is a daily complaint. Either the husband is complaining or the wife is complaining. So we have to understand from the very outset that nikah is a very sacred bond between the husband and the wife. I will repeat, between a husband, a male, and a wife, a female. This is a social contract between the husband and the wife. Each one has responsibilities towards the other. Nikah is the only legitimate, the most pure way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for the procreation of man. This is a very noble and honorable sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore in the nikah khutbah you hear the hadith, An-nikahu min sunnati, that nikah is part of my sunnah, my way of life. There were three sahaba who had come to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a long hadith. And the gist of the hadith is that they came and they asked, inquired about the ibadat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would come into his home. And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very briefly they explained to those sahaba that this was what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do at home. And in their understanding, they expected it to be much more, and then they said, nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has forgiven him all his sins, he's ma'asoom. We have to work much more harder in gaining Allah's pleasure, in doing ibadat. So one of them said, I am going to keep fast every single day of my life. I'm never going to miss a single day. And the other said, well, I am going to read tahajjud salah the entire night, I'm not going to sleep. And the third said, I will never get married. I will live a life of celibacy. And in Islam, there is no celibacy. Nonetheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets the news, he calls them. Antum kutum kada wa kada. You are the three who said you will do this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them that he has more khashiyat of Allah and more taqwa of Allah than they have. Despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I fast sometimes, nafil, and I don't keep some days. I sleep at night and I read tahajjud. So the entire night I'm engaged in tahajjud. And I get married to a woman. This is my way of life. There is a balance in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no extremism. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever moves away from my way of life. Whoever moves away from my way of life, my sunnah, فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Then he is not of me. He cannot claim to be close to me or following me and being part of my ummah. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran various signs in the 21st juz in Surah Ar-Rum about His power, His qudrat. Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And from His signs is this, this, this. Among the signs, the second sign Allah mentioned, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Allah has created for you from your own species wives, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you may gain tranquility, comfort, peace, when you are married to your wives. And Allah has made mawadda, love and rahmah between the two. Allah puts His mercy, Allah puts His love between husband and wife. This is the general norm and practice that we find in the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all this, it denotes the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine Allah didn't make it such that we have to get married to animals and fulfill our desire in a haram way. Allah has made this nikah absolutely hygiene, the most healthy and the most beautiful way. And it's not just the gratification of a person's lust. As I mentioned, it is a social contract. We've got responsibilities to shoulder. We've got responsibilities that we owe to the opposite partner. So this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness, that Allah has created nikah. It is the great sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, many ahadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged the youngster, the young boy, young girl, when the match is found, then they should not delay in nikah. And quite often we say, you know, she is still studying, he is still studying. And what happens in the interim, especially in today's times with all the fitna that is taking place, then they begin to court. And our Hazrat Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that they begin to court and then the marriage afterwards lands up in the court. If you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was so beautiful, so beautiful. The manner in which he interacted with his wives, that they could not even envisage a single moment without the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One occasion is a lengthy incident, we have mentioned this previously, where he offered them if they wished to be divorced. None of them opted to be divorced or wished to remain in the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he showed them such muhabbat, such love, compassion, care. He was so understanding towards his wives. He was caring that nobody wished to be away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, they had such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they would become envious of the co-wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and we know the amount of responsibilities he had on his shoulder, of not just his wives or his family or his sahaba, but the entire ummah, he still found time that he spent with his wives. Imagine after Fajr Salah, in some books of Seerah it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go and he would visit each of the home of his wife. Each wife he would visit after Fajr Salah. And then finally he'll remain in the home of that wife whose turn it was for that particular day. The same is found after Asr Salah. Remember, there were so many delegations that would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were visitors, there were people he had to see, and matters he had to tend to. Despite all this, he finds the time to see his wives, each one of them, even after Asr Salah. And there are narrations where Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions that before Fajr Salah, that is after Tahajjud Salah, before Fajr Adhan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would converse, he would talk to me. We would chat at that time. Imagine, that time also he found for his wife. Even during a safar, and he would travel with his wives, he would find time during the safar, especially at night, after fulfilling all the duties of the sahaba and on the journey, whatever was expected, then he would find time to spend with whichever wife had accompanied him on the journey. He gets married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, the entire incident in Bukhari Sharif. So he is married to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, new bride. Walima is taking place in his home. Still Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves that home for a little while, and he goes to each one of his other wives. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi explains that he wanted to also pacify them and make them feel good. Obviously, they'll be envious. Today, Nabi Karim Sam is married to somebody else. It's natural, any woman will feel that. He found time to go and ask them how they were feeling. He was concerned about their well-being. After greeting them and asking them about how they were, they also asked him, how are you, Ya Rasulullah Sassam? How is your new wife? Even after the demise of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, his most beloved wife, the first wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first person to bring iman, he did not forget her. Look at the loyalty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She wasn't just one episode in his life, and the moment she passed away, that was the end of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Never. He would still, in Madina Munawwara, after making the hijrah, find the time to sacrifice animals, goats. Pieces were made of the meat, and they were then sent to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who were still living there. He was so concerned about his wives, the love, the care. He would find time to even kiss his wives. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put his Mubarak lips, after taking the glass or the tumbler from me when I had drunk from it, he would look for where I had placed my lips, and he would place his lips on that part and then drink the water. The narration of even him having or bathing with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in a common tub, and both of them, so as they were fighting for the last bucket of water to pour over themselves, the muhabbat, the friendship, the love, the loyalty, the bond, the attachment. He did not disregard his wives. There was this understanding, mutual understanding. And this is what we all need to inculcate in our lives. When we fail to fulfill the responsibility that is upon our heads and the rights of our wives, and of course the wives also have rights of the husband that they have to fulfill. When we fail in this, in fulfillment of the rights, then we have problems. When there's no mutual understanding, then it's unnecessary problem in society. What we hear next, talaq, may Allah protect us. May Allah give barakah in all his nikahs, and bless them with pious offspring. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed this love to all his wives. And therefore he mentioned, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. This entire world is a mata', goods. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِهَا. And the best of these possessions of this world is الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ. A pious wife. Another narration, it is mentioned, the tafsir is given. Who is a pious wife? That when the husband looks at her, she pleases him. The meaning is not just outward appearance, she's dolled up and looking very beautiful. Of course, that is there. But beyond that, her akhlaq, her nature, her temperament. It's not just henpecking all the time. The man comes from work, he's tired. Before he can even put his foot in fact, nowadays we have this WhatsApp and messages. So already it starts from there. Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Look at the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah. When the verses, first five verses came down, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And Rasulullah became overwhelmed. He was afraid. He's going to die, he's going to pass away. Something's going to happen to him. Jibreel alayhi salam had pressed very heavily upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They released him. It happened three times. He came running to who? To Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. She consoles him. Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never let you down. Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never disgrace you. You've got such beautiful qualities. She enumerated beautiful akhlaq and qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we hear in the seerah talks. You are kind, you help people, you join family ties, you take the problems of the ummah on your head, etc., etc., etc. She praised him, she consoled him. And this is what is required. Al-mar'atu saliha is who? That when you look at your wife, she pleases you. And when the husband commands, of course, something which is a shar'i command, not something which is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He commands her, she obeys him. And when he is absent, he's gone on some journey, he's not around, then she protects her chastity. Very important, especially in these times. She protects her chastity. She makes sure she does not commit zina with somebody. And she protects his wealth. She's a loyal wife. You know, Sayyidina Ayub alayhi salatu salam. In the verses of the Quran, Allah talks about Sayyidina Ayub alayhi salatu salam, how ill he was and how sick he became. For a long period of time, to such an extent that people in the community then put him on one side of the town. Everybody abandoned him beside his wife. Absolutely loyal. Right till the end, she remained standing and nursing her husband Ayub alayhi salatu salam. And the man, the husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses all of us. Two words, but a very powerful message, a very powerful plea from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. It is as though Allah is interceding on behalf of the woman folk. And Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. O men, deal with your woman with kindness, with your wives with kindness, with compassion. Ma'roof. Rasulullah mentioned, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. Accept from me the advice of being kind to your wives. It should not happen, he says, yajridu ahadukum imra'atahu. A man who begins to beat up his wife. She made some mistake. Food didn't have so much of salt or extra salt. Wasn't cooked properly. She wasn't ready when you came home. You became irritated. And the husband, what he does? He beats up his wife. He whoops her. Like how a master whoops his slave. He says, in the end of the day, perhaps you might want to have intercourse with your wife. Are you being fair to her? Is that justice? Now when you want to satisfy your desires, now you're going to the same woman who you beat up during the day? There are so many women folk in our society, so many who remain silent. They have been abused physically by their husbands. And because of this haya and modesty they have, they feel embarrassed to tell their parents and family members. Some of them do not have many parents. They remain silent. They make sabr for years. For years. This is not what our deen has taught us. We have to be kind to them. Rasulullah said, if you dislike some quality of your wife, some weakness,
They look for some other quality, some good quality in her.
فَإِنَّهُنَّ عَوَانِنَ عِنْدَكُمْ They are like captives in your possession. Imagine the qurbani, the sacrifice, this young girl, she is getting married. She leaves the home of her parents, her siblings. It's not an easy task. It's not something easy. She has to live away. Sometimes she goes to another province, maybe sometimes overseas. She's not going to see her parents. And you find very common after few days, a few weeks, the very first thing the mother and the father, what are they worried? The very first thing they ask the daughter, are you okay? Is everything okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was married to Ruqiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they made hijrah to Abyssinia, far away from Madina Munawwar, or from Makkah. Absolutely far. Weeks, perhaps months journey. And all the time he's worried, is his Ruqayya fine? Is she okay? And then the news reaches Rasulullah SAW, because a woman had gone there and she returned. And she describes Usman radiallahu ta'ala. He says, what a wonderful man. I saw him kneeling down and he made his wife stand on him. And then he mounted her very gently. This gave Rasulullah SAW such satisfaction and happiness and pleasure. So as the husband or the men, we have duties towards our wives. The very first thing we should be bringing in our life, both husband and wife, is bring Allah totally in our lives. Make sure we are trying to follow the Sharia. Complete Sharia. Our Salat. Imagine how often it is found that the girl was tahajjud guzar, performing tahajjud when she was staying with the parents. Now she is getting married, sometimes to a learned person, Allah forbid. Now the tahajjud is gone, even the fajr salah, because the husband is lazy. We become angry when the wife is waking us up for salah. She hears the azan, aren't you going for salah? We become angry, don't worry about me, I'll read later on. Salah needs to come into our lives. If the salah comes right, every other aspect of our life will come so beautifully. Yes, vicissitudes of life, ups and downs. If every marriage, you'll have some argument, you'll have some so-called quarrel fight, the silent treatment, but it does not become something that lingers and you become abusive, physical abuse, mental abuse. We hurt the wife. No. Then we must learn to praise our wives. We send nice messages and images to other people. Allah forbid, sometimes it is to haram. The secretary or some other woman in a person's life. Allah protect all of us. We send those heart pictures to everybody. But did you ever send that to your wife whilst you were at work? Did you ever send her a nice kind word? Did you ever praise her? That mashallah, you cook so well. You're doing so much. You're entertaining my guests, my family. You're looking after my parents. It is out of her kindness that she's doing all this. It is our obligation that we should be feeding them and we should give them clothes to wear. Provide medication for them when they're not well. It is their kindness that they're cooking for us. It is the ihsan upon us that they're cleaning the home for us and doing so much of other things for us. And we should give them their privacy in the sense that it should not be that our family members, our mothers or sisters, just come into, barge into their rooms. They have no privacy, open their cupboards and do what they want. No. If it means and require a separate kitchen, they should be given a separate kitchen. But live with muhabbah. But give them their privacy also. She's got also family who would like to visit her. When we don't do all this, then there's a problem. And it's a very small problem. It's very petty, but it grows and grows and grows. And what happens next? We run from one Maulana to a Mufti and to so many people. Children suffer in that marriage. And after some time, the entire marriage just falls apart. We hear it's divorced. Show them that love and kindness. Imagine after Jummah today you go and suddenly you express such beautiful words. I'm sure I said getting hadiah from all the women folk to start giving me gifts. What happened to you today? Oh, is a sign of qiyamah now? That you being so kind and you sing such lovely words. You know, there was an old man, I think you mentioned it previously. And he had a guest, elderly man. So they were eating, and he's calling his wife, he's calling out to her, she was in the kitchen, beautiful words, darling, and love, and janu, and whatever. And this man, the visitor, was so curious, mashallah, you know, you're so kind and so loving, I mean, what beautiful words you express to your wife. So he whispers to him, says, shh, since the past 10 years, I forgot her real name. When Sayyidina Aisha Siddiq, Rasulullah mentioned to Sayyidina Aisha, I know when you're upset with me. I know when you are a bit angry with me. So she says, how is it? He said, normally you say, Allahumma Rabba Muhammad. Allah, the Rabb of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you're a little bit upset, Allahumma Rabba Ibrahim. Then you say, Allah, the Rabb of Ibrahim. She says, yes, but I have never taken you out of my heart. I have the full muhabba for you. So this is nikah. Time has already expired, extra time. What is the khulasa? Bring Allah in our life. Praise our wives. There must be a mutual understanding. We have a problem, sit together. Before we go to anybody else, sit together. There must be some understanding. Try and make and resolve the problem, whatever it is. Yes, if it doesn't come right, then you could seek assistance from family members, senior people, or the ulama, whoever. But never, never become angry. Control our anger. Control our anger. Control our anger. And if you control our anger, then inshallah, and we humble ourselves, we will see barakah in our nikah. And we will see so much of happiness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.